Good morning, church. How's everybody this morning? Happy July 4th, Independence Day weekend. I was thinking, we all know, have heard these words from our Declaration of Independence. We're, 249 years as a nation this weekend? And I was thinking about that opening that we know so well. We hold these truths. Let me read it to you. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. They are endowed by who?
Their Creator.
By their Creator. Not by government. They are endowed by their Creator with certain and unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We have the rights that we have, the government that we have, the freedoms that we have, don't come from man. They come from God. And what a blessing that we live in a nation that understands that, declared that from the very beginning. You'll hear people say, well, we're not a Christian nation. Baloney. From the very beginning, they declared, we are a nation under God. We are a nation that our rights come from our Creator. So we come celebrating and worshiping that Creator today. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you that you are indeed the Creator of all things. And you spin the planets on your finger and you cast the stars in the sky. And yet you are mindful of us. You love us. You came to save us and to set us free. So Lord, we lift high the name that is above every name, Jesus. We pray, O Lord, that you would be high and lifted up, that your Spirit would be in this place. We love you, and we praise your holy name. Amen. So welcome, as we go to worship, I want to welcome our live stream worshipers as well. Glad that you're worshiping with us. Rise if you are able. Let's worship together.
Good morning. Sing with us. May the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by. There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky.
Tony will be here in a minute.
I've got a home in glory, okay. Land that outshines the sun. I've got a home in glory, land that outshines the sun.
Stay here, man.
I've got a home.
children, if you would see Miss Teresa over at the doors, y'all will head on to Children's Church.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see everybody this morning. I want to encourage you to go ahead and check into this service through our app. If you're worshiping with us online, God bless you. I encourage you to check into the online service. Ray Mason, can you go ahead and make your way up here, please, sir? Ray has some thoughts he would like to share about an upcoming men's breakfast this coming Saturday. And don't embarrass yourself like you did during the early service, please, sir.
Sorry about that.
It's all right.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I've been waiting to do this for a long time.
I'm here representing the, some of the guys of this Methodist church. We have breakfast occasionally. We have a wonderful time, and it's a good time to meet other men. Guys, I'm sorry to say there's some, most of you guys in here I don't know by name. I know your face, but I go to early service. I know most of those guys. We want to reinstate, ladies, you don't have to listen to this stuff. We're fixing to get our monthly breakfast back in gear. For the last couple, 2 or 3 years, we've been swapping off with going to the Baptist church. They come over here, we go over there. And they've changed their whole doing. They're doing something different. So now it's just us. We want to have a great crowd of men to come help cook breakfast. No, to come to our breakfast time. We have a great time. We have people that come and talk, or we have guys of our own group that give talk, have some great cooks. Oh, I'm sorry. We have a great group of guys that cook a beautiful breakfast. Men, I'm offering opportunity starting next Saturday. Now, the reason we're having the meeting next Saturday is to kind of put it all back together because, like I said, we've been going in and sharing the time with the Baptist, and now it's just going to be us. So we're going to meet next Saturday and put this thing together where we can have a nice big breakfast. Cost, well, that's another thing. I'm going to look and see how much you pay and see if you like my cooking. If there's not much money in there, I need to change something. We have, guys, there's a bunch of you I don't know, and I apologize for that. But it gives us a time to come together, to worship together, to help each other if somebody's got a problem, work together, be a man family. So starting next week, this next Saturday, if you want to come and sit in, we'd love for you to come. Have ideas of what you think might work, what we need to do to get this thing kicked in gear and go. And I'm looking forward to it. We're back coming back together here, what I call our church home. And, okay, what time? Well, this Saturday is 7:30. It's breakfast. That's when we're going to eat. We'll start at 7 cooking. Like I said, got some great cooks, and we're going to cook a nice breakfast. So at 7:30 we'll eat, then after that we'll have our little meeting of putting it all together, what we need to do to make it a nice big monthly or every other month, whatever we decide to do. That's the big problem, too, a monthly or every other month to have the meeting. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to putting some names with faces. I got a great memory, guys. It's just short. I don't think I'm the only one that has that issue. But we appreciate y'all. We love you. We love each other. We have a great time. We help each other if we need some help. Come have breakfast with us. Come share the word. And thanks for listening to my bull.
Thank you, Ray. 7:30 this coming Saturday, a little planning session will start about 8 a.m. So this morning during our prayer time, I obviously want to pray for South Texas and what's going on there, the devastation, the loss of life, the parents that their children are missing. Very difficult time for that area of the world. Also this week, there's an elementary camp going on at Camp Butman, 4th, 5th, and 6th graders, those that are going into those grades. And at the same time, there is a senior high camp that's taking place as well. There are 6 elementary age students and 8 high school aged students. And I just want to pray that God will just wreck their hearts this coming week. Not just them, but the counselors, the leaders. And, you know, we need to pray for protection for these campers. I mean, I don't anticipate what happened in South Texas happening in West Texas. I guess it could, but I heard a pastor say one time that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And if we see that activity, it's kind of a no-brainer. That makes sense. If we see killing, stealing, and destroying, it could be his handiwork. So we need to pray for protection for all those involved. Or if you're a camper, or if you are a leader, a counselor, I just want to ask you to stand. We just want to pray over you, just bless you. I don't know if we have very many campers in the room. We do. Okay, several, thank you. If you're standing around one of these, just if you feel comfortable, lay your hands on them and let's ask for the Lord's protection, his provision. Don't want to embarrass anybody, but we need the Lord, church. Amen. We need the Lord. So pray with me. Father, we thank you, God, for your love for us. Father, you are good. There's never been a nanosecond in eternity where you have not been good. And Lord, in the midst of tragedy, in the midst of difficulty, Father, you are still good. Lord, I want to pray for those impacted by the flooding. Those that lost their homes, those that lost family members, those who have family members that are missing. Father, I just pray that you do something miraculous in hearts this morning and maybe bring peace where there is no peace. I pray that you bring closure where there might not be closure. And Father, if there are still survivors out there, God, I pray that you protect them. Father, you are king of the flood. Scripture says you could have stopped that. And I don't know. We don't understand. But God, you're still on the throne. And nothing will change that. So bless everybody impacted by that. God, I pray for Butman Camp this week. I pray for supernatural protection. God, I pray for a hedge about that facility. God, I pray against illness that might try to creep in. God, I just pray for peace to rest there. I pray for the leadership of the camp. I pray for the leadership of the camps themselves. God, I pray for the campers. I pray that they have radical encounters with you. Holy Spirit, would you just move in power? God, I believe you go before us, just like you went before Joshua into the promised land, and you said, everywhere you step your foot, I will give to you. And so, Lord, as they walk through this camp this week, God, I just pray that everything on the schedule, God, I just pray that it brings glory and honor to you. And, Father, I just pray by the end of this time, the end of this week, that everybody has had an incredible, profound impact, being impacted by your presence, God, a profound encounter with you. Lord, I pray that you mark those elementary age kids. I pray you mark these senior high kids for eternity. That they can look back on this week and say without a doubt, oh, God, I know I met with you, and this is what you did. So, Lord, move in power. I pray for the counselors, the leaders, God. I just pray that you give them wisdom. I pray that you give them strength. When they're sleepy, God, I pray that you restore their strength. Thank you for Marvin, Diane, Gregory. I don't want to single them out, but I just thank you for their many years of faithfulness. God, I pray that you empower them, embolden them, give them strength, Lord. And at the end of this week, God, we just want to declare that you are holy, righteous, and mighty. And you did a holy work, a righteous work, and a mighty work in the hearts of the Father, we love you. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for being here with us this morning. And Father, I just pray that everybody in this room, everybody that's watching online, I pray that we know that we've met with you by the end of this service. We trust you, we praise you, and we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. I want to remind you of our giving opportunities. The offering boxes are by the doors. If you have a prayer request, you can drop that in the offering box as well. Also, you can give electronically. And again, as every week, we have several people available for prayer after the service. And I encourage you once again to take advantage of that. Give them an opportunity just to bless you. Let's continue to worship together.
Thank you.
Good morning again, church. Good morning. Want to again welcome our live stream worshipers. Glad you are with us worshiping from your home or wherever you are. If you are our guest this morning, we are really excited you're here. We're glad you're here. Hope you feel the love of Christ in this place. Hope you feel that Holy Spirit we just sang about, and two, hope you feel the love of God's people as well. There is a card in the seat pocket in front of you with a blue stripe. It says guest registration. Would love for you to fill that out if you're our guest. You certainly don't have to do that, but I'd love for you to fill that out and bring it down at this end of the foyer, and I would love to meet you. Have a free gift for our guests. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans 6. Romans 6. Beginning in verse 15. Now, Paul had just talked about how we're no longer under the law, we're under grace. We'll talk about that more, but verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to somebody to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey? I'd like to read that again. When you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey. Whether you're slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves, but just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefits you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we desperately need you. We need to hear from you. Nobody wants to hear my words. We want to hear from you. Would you speak, Holy Spirit? Would you speak the only way you know to speak, in power and authority? Teach us, change us, in Jesus' name. Amen. So today's message, as you probably saw in your bulletin, is who is your master? Who is your master? We're going to talk more about that in a moment. But I was thinking, I shared this a few years ago about, when y'all know that Cheryl and I used to backpack a lot when we were younger. And I remember my very first backpacking trip. A friend of mine who was my pastor at the time was leading that group, and it was in Colorado, and I had no experience, but I was younger and in good health and good condition. And we had, I don't know, I think we had 15 or 20 people that went packing with us. And where we were supposed to go and where my friend was leading us, the rangers had, unbeknownst to him or any of us, had blocked off that trail, and I guess was doing some repairs or whatever, and we took another trail that and didn't realize we'd done it. So the trip was much longer than we had anticipated, and quite honestly, we were all getting very fatigued and really little scared because it was starting to get dark. That's not a good thing, to be caught in the mountains in Colorado in the dark with no no way to protect yourself. So there was a guy in our trip named Wes, and Wes was a little older and was a smoker and was not in good shape, had not prepared himself for the trip. And as we are going, I just always liked to be in the tail end of the line of hikers. I just liked to make sure everybody was okay and taking the right turns and so forth. And when I began to watch Wes, and he was starting to struggle as nightfall was beginning to be upon us. And so me and several of the other younger guys, we started pulling things off of Wes's pack, and he really was not crazy about that. Brad, you want to go backpacking again?
Let's go.
Okay, buddy. All right. But Brad went with us 1 year. And so we're taking stuff off of his pack. We're lightening the weight. And we go a little further, and he's still struggling. We take some more weight off. And we go a little further, and he's still struggling. And we ultimately took his entire pack. He was carrying a stick, his walking stick, as all that was left. And I kid you not, Wes, it's getting dark. We're needing really desperately to get to camp. And he lays, the trail was, it was kind of slanted. He lays on the side of the trail, and he says, "Just leave me here. Just leave me here. I'll be all right. I'll find y'all in the morning." And we're like, "Wes, we're not leaving you here, brother. We're not leaving you here. You make it." So we took all of Wes's weight off, and he made it. And as I was thinking about that story, I think about that's what Jesus wants to do with us. When we carry this weight around, this weight of sin, he wants to take that off of us. And just like Wes, we resist that. And maybe for him, I think it was pride. It's like, I'm a man. I don't want you embarrassing me by taking weight off my pack. But we carry this weight, and Jesus just wants to lighten the load for us. So let's unpack this scripture as we have that thought in mind. Let's unpack the scripture a little bit more. First of all, we need to understand, church, we are all slaves. We're slaves. One master. We have a choice of two masters. One brings death and the other offers life. That's our choice. Death or life. Seems like a no-brainer, but lots of people choosing the death. This scripture today, verse 16. You are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness, Christ. There's no neutral ground. I ran across this quote from C.S. Lewis. Go ahead and throw that up there, Lee. There is no neutral ground in the universe. Every square inch, every split second is claimed by God and counterclaimed by Satan. Everything in our lives, we have that choice. We have the sin that leads to death, or we have Christ, righteousness that leads to eternal life. That's our choices. And here's what this struck me a few years ago. This is how the enemy works. Are you ready? Are you listening? Here's how he works. It's okay. Nobody's ever even gonna know. They're not gonna even know. And it's you're gonna love this. You're gonna love this choice that I'm asking you to make. It's gonna be great. He whispers to our spirit. He promises freedom, but he delivers death. He promises freedom, and he delivers death. That's how the enemy works. You may not hear an audible voice, but in your spirit, you're wrestling. We're all wrestling. The flesh or the spirit. And this struck me this week as I was kind of preparing for this message. And I was visiting with someone recently that doesn't go to our church that was kind of struggling with some things in his life. And here's what came to me. Jesus hates sin. He doesn't hate the sinner. He hates sin. Why does he hate sin? Because he knows what it does to his children. It destroys. It leads to death. When we listen to that voice, when we listen to and we let Satan be our master, it never turns out good. Can I get a witness in the house? It never turns out good. He promises life. He promises freedom. He promises joy. He promises this will fulfill you and make you great. But then here's how he ends it up. He, go ahead, nobody will even know. It's going to be great. And then as soon as you do it, in a little stronger voice, you are such a hypocrite. You call yourself a Christian. He entices us into the flesh, the things of the flesh. He entices us to let that be our master. And then he shames us when we act, when we do it. I don't know about you, that's not a good choice for me. But Jesus hates sin because he knows what it does to his children. So to counter that, he offers life. He offers life. This person that I visited with recently, I kept this scripture kept coming by my mind. He was tired, he was fatigued, he was overwhelmed with the circumstances of life. Much of it was self-imposed, some from others. And I said, you're tired. You need somebody to carry your load like Wes. You need somebody to take the weight off of your pack. And the scripture came to my mind. Jesus said, come to me if you're weary and burdened. Are you weary? Are you burdened? Come to me. I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. Satan wants to steal, kill, and destroy, as Billy prayed earlier. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And as he said, when we see that happening, that's a sign. That's from the enemy. He's the father of lies. He seduces us to let our flesh be the master of our lives. And then he shames us. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus hates sin because he doesn't want to see that happen to you and me. He wants us to have freedom. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. So we have this, and here's what came to me in the early service. This choice is not a one-time choice. It's not, oh, well, I've rejected that. I've rejected the flesh. I choose Jesus. That's a good step. But guess what? This guy doesn't give up. He doesn't give up. You got to make that choice again and again and again to reject that he's our master, reject that and reject him, and receive this master, God, Jesus, what he wants for us, eternal life, abundant life. Which leads me to the second point. Jesus came to set us free. We're slaves to something, either death or life, but Jesus came to set us free. Galatians 5:1 says, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. He wants freedom. For me, when that happened in my life, and again, it wasn't a one-time occurrence, but the first time that really happened for me, man, you talk about a release. He took that backpack was heavy. The backpack in my life was heavy. And it's like he just took it off. He took it off. It's for freedom he set us free. Now the Lord, speaking of Jesus, 2 Corinthians 3, now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, what? There's freedom. When we press in to the Lord, when we press into His Spirit and let Him be our master, there's freedom. Freedom not to indulge this, not to indulge the sin and the being letting Satan be our master, sin and death. No, there's freedom from what binds us. Galatians 5:24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Romans 6:22, but now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap, see, there's a benefit. The benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. And I tell people all the time, eternal life isn't someday. When we die, I'm going to have eternal life. Eternal life is right now. Anybody can raise your hand if Christ has changed your life. I mean, did it just something just like it just happens. When we become slaves to God, we reap a benefit now. This is bondage. This is death. That's what the enemy wants for us. But Christ, we have the benefit of life, abundant life, right now. Through the cross, Christ has delivered us from the bondage of sin and death. And as I said, it's not something that we make a one-time decision and we're done, because we have this enemy that roars around, that goes around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And let me tell you, Christians are not off limits. When we have Christ, we're not off limits. There's constantly this seduction. He's trying to seduce us back to the flesh. And if you don't believe me, turn on the TV. If you don't believe me, turn on your computer. If you don't believe me, get into social media. Listen to some of the lyrics of our songs that our young people are just consuming. It is a constant battle. We have to choose the Spirit over and over and over every moment. When we relax, and I also told this person that I was with, that they're a believer, but they're not in the Word. They don't go to church. It's hard for them to pray or do, you know, certainly not worshiping. I'm like, man, how do we do this? I mean, how do we make this choice, and how do we live and walk in the Spirit? Which leads me to my third point here. We are indeed called to live by the Spirit. And again, it's not a one-time deal. So the best way I can describe it in my limited vocabulary is we've got to press in to the Spirit. The things that we're putting up here takes root here. And if we're putting, I've used this example before, but back in my old computer days, the very first thing they taught me in programming school was, if you write a bad program, you're going to get bad results. And they used the phrase garbage in, garbage out. Kevin, you know what I'm talking about. Garbage in, garbage out. It's the same thing spiritually. If we put garbage up here, I guess I promise you, garbage is going to take root here and it's going to come out in our life. Galatians 5:16. So I say, live by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. And you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. If we're pressing in over here, it weakens this. For the sinful nature desires what's contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit contrary to what's in the sinful nature. They're in conflict with each other, and it's not a once and done thing. They're in constant conflict with each other. Which one are you sowing into in your life? Which one are you sowing into? Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. As I said a while ago, Satan promises all sorts of good things if we will live in the flesh. But it always leads to death. And Jesus hates sin because he knows what it does to his children. He loves his children, so he hates sin because of what it does to them. Now, this person a while back that I was visiting with, I would share some of this, and I'd say, "Are you tired? Are you tired of carrying this load?" Then that scripture came to my mind. "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened," Jesus says, "and I'll give you rest." And he would hear that and he would get that, but then immediately he would say, "Yeah, I really need to do this and this and this." And I was like, "No, what you need to do is surrender to the Spirit. Not try harder to resist, not try harder to be good. Surrender to the Spirit over and over and over again. Victory doesn't come by trying harder, church. Victory comes by surrendering to the Spirit. And I learned this, you know. Well, let me back up 1 second on the in regards to what Jesus accomplished on the cross. It wasn't just that he took our sins and nailed them to the cross so that was paid for. Yes, he did that. But he also, it was an exchange. He took our sin, nailed it to the cross, and it was an exchange. Then he placed upon us, Scripture says, he clothed us with his righteousness. So there's this exchange that took place. So I don't know about you, but for me, true freedom is only found in Jesus Christ. It's not trying harder. It's not trying to be good. It's not bearing down. Okay, I love it when you come to church, and it's a good thing. It's a very good thing, because we worship and we fellowship with one another, and we hear the word, and all, so on and so forth. That's a good thing. But did you know, I've said this before, but standing in a garage doesn't make you a car. Coming to church doesn't mean you know Jesus. You're just here. You can be here and not know Jesus. Not as I'm talking about this, you may not even know what I'm talking about. True freedom is only found in faith in Jesus Christ, knowing what he's done for us. And as we partake of this meal, you know, it's so interesting to me. I think the main emphasis, as Jesus did, he instituted this meal with his disciples, he demonstrated the body and the blood, his body and blood shed and broken for us. He demonstrated that through this meal. But then what did he say? He said, "Remember." When you partake, what are we remembering? We remembered that he's freed us from sin and death. And we press into the Spirit. I want to invite you, the words will also be on the screen, but if you can't see the screen good or want to, page 12 of your hymnal, we're going to read the liturgy today. And I've talked about this before, but there was a time early in my life when the liturgy just didn't really, I didn't get it. Just words. But these are more than just words. I believe these are holy words that remind us what this meal is about. So I hope that the Lord, and I pray that the Lord will open these words to you as we say them together today. Page 12, and you will read the bold lettering. "Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him." Do you love him, church? Then you're invited. "Who earnestly repent of their sin." Do you repent of your sin? You are invited. "And seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not heard, We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Christ our Lord. Amen. If you will pray in your own heart, your own personal prayer of silent confession. Hear the good news, church. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, church, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. The great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread. He gave thanks to you, and he broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Christ Jesus, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory. And we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. If those who are serving will come forward to receive. Christ our Lord has invited you to his table. It's not my table. It's not our church's table. It's the Lord's table. If you repent of your sin, you have called on Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're welcome to come to this table. These two stations on this end and these two stations on this end, you'll be given a piece of bread, dip it into the cup and partake in that manner. If you would rather have the individual elements, you can come to the center aisle. You can go ahead and take those back to your seat and consume the bread first. And when you've finished with that at the end of the service, you can discard those in the waste basket as you leave. The altar rail is open. Jesus loves you. Come.
Who could carry that kind of
sing that chorus one more time.
Be some that are struggling this morning. Don't forget we have people to pray this morning. There may be also, you may be hearing some whispers from the enemy to do something, to make a decision that you know is not pleasing to God. Please don't leave this place without visiting with me or Billy or the prayers this morning about that. Jesus came to set us free. If we have Jesus, we are free indeed. That's good news, church. God bless you. Go and tell someone. Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus Himself set the example for us by being baptized Himself, and He encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.